Samson.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 10. On this week's show, Brian's going to tell you about some new merchandise celebrating 20 years of Food and Wine. Or if Brian doesn't, Melissa will. And then maybe Brian will talk about the Garden Grill, who's going to be opening up for breakfast and lunch reservations. Captain EO, for some reason, is returning to Epcot. I forgot a few extra hidden gems that I wanted to talk about from last week. And then we are going to discuss some of our favorite things to do in Walt Disney World at night. So, to my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Going around the table next is Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. Okay, and that was Bloom by Pogo. You can find more of his videos over on youtube.com/Pogo. You can find his music over at soundcloud.com/Pogomix. And his home website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast, on Facebook under the same name. And our Disney group in particular, you can search for Disney Magic Hour and click the little join button there. And if you could, please take the time to head on over to iTunes, look for our show, and hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star rating. It helps us a lot in getting more eyes on the show. So, how's everybody?
Good.
Wonderful.
Exciting.
Yes.
We have a lot of stuff to cover this week. I first wanted to cover something I botched last week.
Okay.
Last week I talked about a hidden gem that I wasn't sure was still there, and then I never ever told you about the hidden gem that I'm not sure is still there, because we got into so many different things. The one that I wanted to discuss in particular is at Hollywood Studios. Now, the reason I don't know if it's there anymore is it used to be located in the Disney Animation Courtyard.
Right, which over... is behind the entrance to the Animation Studios.
So I don't think you can go back there anymore. I'm not sure how much they're closing that. But they have handprints of some of the 9 old men back there. In particular, Mark Davis, Ken Anderson, Ken O'Connor. I don't know if he's technically one of the 9 old men. Then Ward Kimball is there as well, who worked on everything from Snow White to Mary Poppins. Ollie Johnston is also back there, and Frank Thomas. It's really, it's when you enter what would be the courtyard area. It's on your left-hand side. It's 3 cement... what's the word I'm looking for?
Slabs?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 cement slabs on the floor, the way that they would have the handprints and everything like that. And you can maybe go and check that out before they got rid of it. The other one that I forgot about that I really like pointing out to people when we're in the parks is after the stretching room, the whole sequence happens in Haunted Mansion. If you stick around a little bit and let everyone else leave, I know that we're all, if you're a regular at the park, you might have the tendency to look for the red light, you know, the door panel with the red light so you can get online on the attraction quickly. But if you just wait, let everyone else go and just keep your ears open, you'll get a really cool little creepy surprise. So I'll just leave it at that for those who don't know of it. And that was one. Yeah, Melissa.
Oh, we had also kind of skipped over Downtown Disney with the hidden gems. And there was one in particular that only happens at certain times during the day. If you're in the pin trading store, they have a wall, like a big, huge cork board. But the wall will only open up for pin trading certain times of the day. It's unscheduled. The cast members will just say, maybe soon if you ask them, because I've asked a ton. But there's usually some really cool hidden, you know, pins on there that aren't available throughout the park. So that's a fun one.
Yeah, I remember actually, I think I kind of brought that up to you.
Yeah, you had told me about it. And I forgot to.
That's the thing. It was a long episode. Like, yeah, we were going longer than we normally go.
Is that something that's still
kind of big, the pin trading? Or is that kind of giving way to the Vinylmations and stuff like that?
See, I feel like the Vinylmations are the thing that's kind of slipped away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
They don't even do trading anymore.
They don't even do the trading anymore.
No, trading Vinylmations is no longer a thing because I guess, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it could just be a one-to-one trade the way that they do pins where you see what you're doing.
Yeah.
But they were in the... In the practice of having the blind trading,
yeah,
and you rarely, if ever, got a vinyl that you cared about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you would get a cast member who was helpful. You know, they would open it up and say, "Oh, well, we know, what were you looking for? You just out of curiosity." And you would, yeah. "Oh, I'm looking for the Star Wars vinyl." She's like, "Well, you might want to try seven. Number seven might be a good one."
Yeah,
you know, that would happen, but rarely. And then you got people who just got kind of abusive towards the cast members, aggravated that they didn't get one they wanted.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do, the cast member couldn't do anything. And then it just turned into a bad situation.
Gotcha.
So they no longer do that trading anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't release very many, as much.
Yeah. They've also kind of cut down their sets. Like a lot of the sets used to be like, what was it, like 12 or so? And now I think it's like eight, you know, seven or eight. Because even, like, the Sleeping Beauty set I got was a smaller set.
How much was that Avengers? Oh, no, the Avengers one was a smaller one, too.
Yeah.
Those variants weren't very interesting, either.
No, unfortunately.
It was a bummer. I remember I bought the whole case, but then I had learned what the variants were, and I returned it.
Yeah.
Because the variant was Black Widow had, like, blacker clothes.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like gray clothes, it was really
or redder hair. Or,
yeah, it was really lame.
Hawkeye with or without his sunglasses, like
I remember that one.
It was pretty lame variations.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it was an Avengers Age of Ultron set that didn't, was it an Age of Ultron? Actually, it may not have been, but it was near, you know, when the movie was about to come out. But there was no Scarlet Witch. There was no Quicksilver.
There was no Ultron.
Well, they had Ultron previously also. I have an Ultron one.
But
they could have done something. The strings version of Ultron that first shows up, you know, that's like all broken and stuff. You could have made that a version. Anyways, it's kind of slid to the backside, the Vinylmations, if anything.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because I never really traded the Vinylmations, so I didn't know if that had taken over, but I guess not.
But they also
have their pins. I still go down and look. They're, you know, all the cast members wear the lanyards. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're pretty good with trading.
And that's so much easier to do, I feel like, the pins. You know what I mean? Like, you see somebody walking through the park. Hey, I really like that pin. Okay, well.
They have started, though, doing the hidden pin thing also, though. You, a cast member will have a lanyard where the pins are all reversed, and you're trading with that. But normally it's because those will be pins of a slightly higher value.
Yeah.
Because mostly the cast members will have the starter set pins on them.
Yeah.
Unless they get something from
a guest.
So that is that. We have a couple of pieces of news we wanted to go over. Brian, why don't you talk about the Garden Grill?
It's as of today, which is July 28th, you can now make reservations for the Garden Grill for breakfast and lunch. Previously, it was only available for dinner. The Garden Grill is located in the Land Pavilion at Epcot, and I've actually never eaten there, but I know they use stuff right from the land in the food, and it's a all-you-care-to-eat, as they put it, family-style buffet thing. I know dinner is a character meet and greet. I don't know if breakfast or lunches. I haven't seen anything confirming it, but the breakfast one is going to be called Chippendale's Breakfast Harvest Feast.
Seems
pretty much like they're going to have a meet and, you know, the character breakfast for that. It starts November 8th is when you can start making the reservations for. You can do it on the DisneyWorld.com/dine. You can call the 407-WDW-DINE, or you can use the My Disney Experience app to make your reservations, because I checked it today, and it was already on the My Disney Experience app. Yeah, I pulled up, and for my trip in December, I pulled up some morning reservations for breakfast.
There was an app update to that just yesterday or today for the My Disney Experience, on the iPhone at least.
Yeah.
Just some stability issues and whatnot.
Bug fixes and stuff.
Yeah, it's like everything. It's going to get updated forever. You know, it'll never be done.
Yeah.
I keep getting the impression that some people may think that there's a finish line for My Magic Plus and My Magic Experience.
Yeah.
Like, that'll never happen. It's never going to be settled. There'll always be something. else adding to it or being adjusted.
Yeah.
Just because that's the way that sort of technology works.
It's
nowadays.
The way it goes. It's a constantly evolving thing. Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be, you know, you have new restaurants, you have this, you have that, blah, blah, blah.
New maps.
It's new maps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure with Downtown Disney, too, with the expansion of that. Yeah. You know, they have all those new restaurants and stuff to do.
Yeah, it's a constantly growing, changing beast.
Beast.
And the nice thing is, though, because Epcot doesn't really have a lot of spots for breakfast. France is the only one in the World Showcase, I believe, that has a breakfast. Is somewhere in France. And
that's Norway.
Akira. I'm not pronouncing it. Whatever it is.
The princess one.
Yeah, the princess one in Norway.
Yeah, that's
awesome. That's right. That's the other one. But that's
but if you don't want it. Princess stuff, then no, there
and
is
And plus
none.
It's Norwegian. Like, they have some different type of food, so people might not be looking for that for their breakfast
stuff. I guess.
I mean, they have the basic stuff, but then I know they have some different type of food.
We've eaten there. I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
we ate there once,
nice.
And we did not realize, because I think they served us, we didn't realize that you could get more, and then they asked us if we wanted more desserts, and we were like, oh, we could do that? We had no idea.
Yeah, we didn't look into it very well.
I guess it's one of those all you can eat, they bring it to your table for you, and then you just ask for more food.
It's kind of, you know, like those what's those meat places that we used to go to? They have the little stopper with the green and the red. As long as the stopper is on the green side, they'll just keep bringing you food.
Yep.
That's pretty much what it is, but we had no idea.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there was no stopper.
That opportunity.
Yeah. So that'll be a new breakfast, the sit-down breakfast place in Epcot, which will be nice because it, you know.
Yeah, I definitely want to try that place.
There. Yeah.
I never tried it.
I never wanted to try it for dinner because there's so many other good places, but now that they have a breakfast, I think I really want to try it out. Yeah.
We'll go in December. We'll go to a breakfast there.
Yeah. I think that'll be fun.
That'll be good.
The sticky bun sounded good, or whatever it was.
Yeah, their signature thing is going to be a chip sticky bun bake. So.
Listen to the land, folks.
Yes.
That we all love. Melissa, you put up an article about some new merchandise coming in for the Food and Wine.
Yes. I did not even realize this is the 20th anniversary of the Food and Wine Festival in Epcot. So apparently it's been around for a while.
You know, you are aware that you've written previous articles that it's the 20th anniversary of Food and Wine.
No.
Okay, just want to make sure. All right.
Totally forgot. That's why I was kind of excited when I saw this. And I was like, ooh, there's all this new merchandise. And, you know, there's normally special...
Like a goldfish.
Shut up. Dory. There's normally specially merchandise for Food and Wine. But this year, being the 20th anniversary, it's more significant. There's special Dooney and Burke bags that highlight, you know, Epcot and all the countries. So in usual Dooney and Burke fashion, there's all little images around it from Spaceship Earth to the Eiffel Tower. There's, you know, T-shirts, hats, all sorts of mugs and plates and wine glasses and...
What's one of the things in particular you really like on that list?
Well, the thing that caught my eye was the salt and pepper shakers, because the last couple of times that we've seen the salt and pepper shakers, it's only the Magic Kingdom, the trash cans for each land, for Adventureland, Frontierland, Tomorrowland, and Fantasyland.
Which are great.
Which are all great, but I can't pick two. So I'm having an issue there. But now you have two Epcot trash can salt and pepper shakers for the Food and Wine, and really there's the Swedish Chef Vital Mission character.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, that was the important one.
Let's get to the important things. We have a Swedish Chef Vital Mission.
Two variants.
Yeah.
Two variants? Well, I'm sorry, one and then one variant.
Oh, okay.
There's one where he's clean and one where he's a mess with all food splattered all over him.
And I'm assuming these are blind boxes. Yeah, it's a blind box, so one out of however many. Yeah. They decide will be the filthy version of the Swedish Chef. They also have a really nice Ratatouille pin, the Hide and Squeak.
Yeah.
I don't know if it actually makes any noise. That name makes me feel like it should, but I might be reading into that too much. They have a couple of Hide and Squeak pins, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then I know that a lot of people got very excited because Figment is featured on a shirt, a mug. And what is this, a keychain or
looks like an ornament?
Looks like an ornament. So that's pretty nice. Just right before they tear that ride down.
He's not going anywhere.
That version of that ride might be going
that's
away.
That's true. No, that.
But I don't think he's going anywhere either.
No, he's pretty popular, I think.
He's quite popular.
Yeah, people were very excited to see Figment there.
Yeah.
In the Food and Wine stuff.
So, it looks like pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
The Dunienburg bag is actually really interesting.
Not usually, it is quite like, nice. I know you're not a big fan of theirs usually.
I like them, but I'm just very hesitant to spend, you know, over $200 for a normal size purse.
Okay.
That I'm going to then like throw in my car, throw on, you know.
Well, you could treat it nicely.
But usually purses go places. Like when you're at a restaurant, they go on the floor. You know, I'm not hanging it on the back of my chair.
Not at Remy.
Well, not at Remy. Yes.
They put it on a little stool, right?
Yeah, they put it on a little stool.
That's really cool.
If we only ate at those places, then yes, I'd get a Dunienburg.
Well, you get one for that time, yeah. Then, so this way.
There you go.
Bring it out. Either once
that, or you carry a little pillow with you, so that when you go out to restaurants at Outback, you put it on the floor and you can put the bag.
That's a good answer for me. I would take that. In baffling news, Captain EO returns to Epcot because
they can't figure out what to do with
that spot. We have nothing else right now, so they're going to have to throw something in there. It really is what that feels like.
But
I feel like they've been using it for the previews for Tomorrowland. They'd use it for Inside Out. They could, you know, throw Star Wars in there, Good Dinosaur.
Why can't they throw in their shorts? Just do rotating shorts of, like, Pixar shorts or...
That would be great.
Or something like that. I mean, just to give it something different.
In 3D.
Like, what about that, you know, that great Mickey one with the black and white where he keeps coming through the screen?
Get a horse.
I can't think of any of it. Something like that.
That's 3 minutes long, though.
No, but you have a couple of them.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm just trying to think of something else.
I would be more interested in that. I mean, it wouldn't... You'll get... That's not really Future World.
No, it's not.
Even though Captain EO doesn't look like the future.
Well, not anymore. But.
That was a theme over there?
What happened?
It's like a specific theme over there, like Future...
Well, it's Journey to Imagination, but it's still in...
In Future World,
it's in
the
Imagination
whole...
Pavilion.
Oh.
But it's quote-unquote, you know, part of Future World, I believe, still. I think this is just a... We're going to be closing things.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be stuff going on, construction. We have to have something going on.
Yeah.
To take
what can
people.
We throw in here that's not going to cost us anything?
And they know it gets kind of some of the fan base really into it.
Yeah, but it was not getting anyone there. Last year that they had it in its return run that lasted forever.
Yeah. Well, I guess they just need something to
I think
put people in.
That's really all it comes down to. They have to just have something to put people in because... We're going to be getting news in August at the G23 for a lot more than Hollywood Studios, would be my guess.
Yeah.
And Epcot is one of the places that has already been heavily rumored to be getting a big revamp. And I'm assuming that's what's going on because now we're less than a month away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less than a month.
From EO. I mean, Scott, Captain EO, is that going to make you interested in going to see that again?
No. The last time I saw it, I was with three other people, and we all fell asleep pretty much. So
yeah, well, I don't know if I could fall asleep because it's so awkward to watch it. It's
I mean,
so
a couple
weird.
Of the parts were funny, like you know, like ha. But other than that, it really wasn't entertaining to the fact that I'd want to go see it again.
Do you have any idea who plays like that screaming bad lady in that movie? I forgot. The main villain.
No,
that's
I don't
Angelica
know
Houston.
Okay.
She had nothing else to do that day. It's just a crazy thing to watch where you're like, Coppola worked on this? Like, Lucas, all right, now looking back
yeah,
at
looking
it.
Yeah, looking
back
like, at it now, you can see that.
You're like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is obviously something Lucas would have written. But, man, is it, it's so bad. But it's good bad. It's fun bad.
It is, yeah.
I'll give it that. Also, if they are going to be putting Captain EO as a character in Disney Infinity, which was rumored.
Oh, I heard
this
that.
Might be a good way to kind of
yeah
reintroduce it to younger kids who might want Disney Infinity but would have no idea who Captain EO is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. That doesn't seem like a very good reason to put it back in. But I think that their driving force is we're gonna have a lot of construction going on. We've got to do something. Also, yeah. Is Soarin', I believe, when they get their update, it is going to be operating, but only one half of it at a time.
Oh, jeez.
So that's going to make that line even more nuts.
Well, I know they're constructing the second concourse or whatever, third concourse, whatever they're doing. They're doing that now. So I don't know if they're putting in the updated system on that side, and then they'll close the side that's currently operating and have, you know, just, again, one side working, but it'll be the updated one while they then update the other one. Because they did say that both Toy Story and Soarin', while they're getting their, you know, expansions, will be operating.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of technical changes they have to make in the existing rooms. I'm assuming the projector is going mm-hmm. digital, obviously, which right now it's a film projector. You can tell.
Yeah.
Because those little spots that you see are dust that yeah. are on the glass and just, you know, wear and tear of the print itself, I'm sure. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be partially open, but is that portion that will be open, does it seat as many people as a ride currently does now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember the details, but if they're opening, like, another theater, I don't know if it's the same as it is now, where there's, like, you know, two concourses. Like, I don't know if they're doing four. You know,
yeah,
that's
you don't,
what I
you don't know if it's going to be a total of four or yeah. if it's a third concourse.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure on that either. Regardless, it's going to be taking less people. So they, you know, they're going to probably just need somewhere to put more people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Or if it's four, then it's an even wash.
Unless they're just like, even if it's three, they cycle, you know, two open, one closed kind of thing. I don't know, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's going to be weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird, but I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Me too.
Now, with Soarin', have you guys ever done the actual line? Because I know every time I've gone, I've done FastPass. Because I've never seen what the walkthrough looks like.
Well, the walkthrough, there's nothing to really look at. I mean, that's they have those games on the wall.
Yeah, because when you go through with the FastPass, there's that big wall. You can't see anything.
Yeah, they have, yeah. like,
you know,
screens
so there's really,
set
like,
up.
I don't know if yeah, there's, like, dinosaurs down there. I have no idea.
No, it's really nothing.
It's pretty bland.
All right.
Well, the games are fun.
So I know a lot of the rides on Disney, the lines, they differ greatly from the actual line and the FastPass. You know, you miss out on a lot.
No, it's a very boring line other than the games on the wall. It looks like where you're walking through for the FastPass.
Oh, okay.
It looks the same.
Beyond the screens, there's nothing, you know.
Well, that's good. I'm not missing anything then.
No, I've done that standby once or twice.
And, you're missing trying to get a group of people to cooperate by playing a game together, which
there
doesn't happen.
Which, I mean, I had fun doing it.
Yeah.
It made the line go by quicker.
It did.
That's what I love about Disney, too. A lot of the lines, even if there's no games or anything to play, like Toy Story Mania, I find something new on that line every time I go.
Yeah, there's always something to look at.
And that's a good thing to have, because sometimes it's a half an hour, 45-minute, you know, line.
Yeah, or longer.
Yeah, you're just like...
I mean, Haunted Mansion, you're just... I'm not Haunted Mansion, I apologize. Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
You're just outside.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a courtyard. It's a cool-looking courtyard, but there's nothing to it.
But no. Then they do have that section when you go into that little room and they play the video.
Yeah, but you're on the... Like, I feel like that's part of the attraction.
Right, yeah, that's like the start of the ride.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that you then go on to another line then, but you're not in there very long. There's the steam room, the boiler room. You're in there, maybe 20 minutes usually.
Yeah.
If that. So.
Well, the line for Tower isn't that bad because there's, three different elevators? Or four?
There are three different. Yeah, I don't even remember. I'm
and
trying
they,
to think
they
of it
see,
right now.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Yeah,
so.
Inside it's not bad. Yeah. That's another one though. I don't usually go on the standby,
right?
Unless it's, you know, no wait time. Then
magic hours or whatever, and it's
yeah. Then I'll sneak over to there. So, okay, wow, yeah, that was Captain EO. That went all over the place. So we wanted to talk about some of the stuff that we like to do in Walt Disney World at night. We're going to hold off, though, on attractions until the end of the show. So who wants to go first? Melissa?
Sure. All right. It's not an attraction, but it's something that you can watch at night in Epcot. It's goes on during the day also, but at night it just has a unique lighting to it that, I don't know, I feel like it adds so much more to it. It's the Fountain of Nations water show. And if you're behind Spaceship Earth, the huge fountain that's out there every so many minutes, I didn't look at how many, they do a show on the fountain. They have the jets spurred up to music, and it's really beautiful. But then at night with the lights change color. I don't know, it just adds much more to that show at night.
You know, it's one of the weird little touches of that area that I love are the lights on the sidewalk.
Yeah, the stars almost.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like little glowing, they go on and off. Right, right as you pass the fountain.
Yes.
You know, and you're kind of approaching. As you're kind of approaching Spaceship Earth.
And they also have sidewalks on the sides over, like on the edges of the fountain, if you're like, over like by the Starbucks. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you're on like the side there, kind of hugging the inner wall, like closer to the restaurants and stuff that's over there. Like, what is it? Inventions, like the buildings over there.
Okay.
There's different shapes and stuff on the sidewalks that, you know, will also swirl. That also illuminate and, the swirl up.
Very cool.
And different colors and such.
Very nice.
Yeah, so the sidewalks there too.
Okay, so one of the things that you liked looking at night, though, is specifically the fountain, because during the day it's one thing, but then at night it takes on a whole different spiel.
Yeah, the light show with it just really.
Very nice. Scott, do you want to, do you have any particular things in Epcot, actually?
At night? No.
You are the devil.
Mine's not Epcot, it's, you know.
Well, you know what, actually, I have one for Epcot, so why don't we try to hit up some things in Epcot first?
Yeah, we'll just do it that way.
And then
we'll
hop over to some other parks? Okay. We'll do what we didn't do last week, where we were, we didn't, like, stick in a park. We'll do that a little bit tonight. Okay. One of the first things I thought of, and again, it might seem obvious, but not having dinner and then going to Epcot during Food and Wine and making that your dinner. Number one rule about this, do it during the week. Don't try this during the weekend. It might be a little much. Even Friday night I would probably avoid.
Yeah.
But we've done this a couple of times. We go there about 6:30 or so, which during that time of year, it's just about getting dark, maybe like within a half hour or so.
Yeah.
And having your dinner as you walk around Epcot at night, which is so nice and relaxing, especially if it's not crazy busy, and making that your dinner and your dessert all at once, and taking about, you can spend up to 2 hours doing that.
Easily, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, if easily. You pace yourself, you can easily spend, and you'll have like a two-hour dinner that would probably cost you around the same amount that as it would if you went to a signature restaurant, but you would have such a variety of food that it's something you can't get at a signature restaurant.
No. Yeah. And just walking around World Showcase at night is just, it's fantastic. Walking around the parks, just it takes on, it really does, it all takes on a different feel at night. And World Showcase is definitely one of them. I think you kind of, you even catch a little bit more details that you might not during the day, I feel, anyway.
Because it's just lit like the perfect way. Because especially World Showcase, it's not overly bright. Some of the parks in certain areas tend to be, you know, even though it's night, they are lit up very well. But I feel like in World Showcase, there's little dark nooks and crannies that just make, like, the atmosphere so much more unique.
Yeah, and like, you know, if you're over in Japan.
Yeah, it was
or China and stuff. Like, they have the lighting that's particular to that country and stuff. And it's just really cool. It gives it a different feel at night.
There's a spot between the trading post and China. It's pretty much, it's pitch dark.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of too dark.
It is.
But it's nice. But it borders that.
Yeah.
It borders that definition of, is this just dark? Yeah. Or is it ambiently lit? Yeah. Like, which one is this?
Yeah. I think during the holiday season, Epcot is probably at night. I would say it's up there with Magic Kingdom, just because of all the different decorations and different styles, you know.
Yeah, very true. Also,
I think for an overall, I'm sorry, Melissa, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, also over in France, it's kind of like a different take, because instead of having it being underlit or only lit in certain parts, they have that one, the one section right in the middle there where they have all the posters. You met the Marie the Cat there.
Yeah, Marie the Cat is usually there.
It's almost like a fluorescent lighting. It has like almost like a greenish or bluish tinge to it. And I feel like that's like the type of lighting that you would see in Europe. And I don't know, it just takes on like a very
different feel. I have a photo of that
feel.
In particular. Yeah. I'll take it because it reminds me of The Third Man. That's why. It reminds me of the movie The Third Man. I'll use that as the picture for this week's show.
Yeah,
actually,
I'll
dig that up. Scott, what you were saying, I actually think Epcot is in some ways nicer than Magic Kingdom for Christmas, because after Main Street, that's it.
Yeah. As a whole.
Which I really wish they would change that. I wish that Christmas and Halloween would extend past Main Street and the castle.
Because you could do so much with the different lands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can decorate them in.
You know, Tomorrowland, you can have, you know.
Space Santa. Space,
yeah.
Yeah. It would be really space cool. Decor.
What?
I don't know.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I wish they would extend it further.
Santa in a UFO.
Yeah.
Santa in a wagon.
What a.
Santa in a fantasy something. What?
On a dragon. No.
All right. Yeah, why not? Okay.
Who's the scientist from Lilo and Stitch?
Oh,
who
creates
him?
The hold on.
Him dressed as Santa.
Jamba.
Yeah,
him dressed as Santa.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, like
that.
Exactly. That
would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that was a walk-around character.
That would be fabulous.
Jamba, yeah. Santa Jamba?
Yep.
We should write a petition right now.
Jamba Claus? No, Jamba Claus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jamba?
Or J Claus?
Is it Jamba or is it Jamba? I feel like I'm saying Jamba for some reason. Like Jamba Juice?
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
I think it's Jamba. Jumba?
Jumba.
Who cares?
Who cares?
It's a great movie.
Just 20 minutes of you guys trying.
It's a great movie.
Well, let's get back to Epcot.
I was really upset when they took out Plinkly from Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the DVC thing? They used to have a Plinkly touristy thing, and they took that away. That was disappointing. Don't worry about Push. You go talk to R2-D2. But Plinkly? Yeah. Can't replace Plinkly.
back to Epcot?
Yeah, one other thing to do at Epcot at night is... Illuminations is a night, obviously. It's a fireworks show. A great thing to do is if you can time your reservations to some of the restaurants over there.
Kind of like what we were saying last week a little bit, yeah.
That's a great thing, you know, just to reiterate that. That's a great thing to do there. What's the restaurants that have it? Rose and Crown.
The Spice Road now over in Morocco is right on the water.
The Spice Road.
The Mexico.
Mexico,
one.
Right?
Mexico, yeah.
Yeah.
By the tequila.
I think that's it, right?
The
that's it in terms of restaurants?
Quick serve,
yeah, the quick service one.
Then there's just like seating around there over by the outpost and
In particular, they have it is called the Illumination Sparkling Dessert Party. Looking at the calendar on Disney's website, it looks to be available on Wednesday and Friday nights. So it probably changes as to locations and whatnot, according to if they have other people who rented out parts of it. Because me and you rented out the area in front of Italy for our rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
When we were doing that, which was really nice.
Yeah, I know they have the area similar to that over near France, too, that either you could rent out or if, I guess, they're having the dessert party. I know we've seen stuff set up for, like, conferences there also, so.
Yeah, because according to the, you know, it's not bad. It's $49 for adults, $29 for children 3 to 9 years old. And they have a big listing of the internationally inspired lineup of confections. Baklava from Morocco, which is delicious. Tiramisu from Italy. Chocolate ganache tarts from France. Crisp rice puffs inspired by Asian cuisine. Cinnamon sugar churros from Mexico, so that's a winner.
With the caramel and chocolate sauce.
With the caramel and chocolate sauce. Seasonal berry cobbler from the U.S., so we are boring as usual. Man, the American Pavilion could really use something interesting. Apple, except I love the Voices of Liberty, but beyond that, I don't know. I love when they bring in the barbecue stuff for the food and wine and for Flower and Garden. Why don't you make a top-of-the-line barbecue place?
I'd love that.
Right in America, because
that would be so...
Yeah, get rid of the burger quick serve and all that garbage. Make something really nice in there. Apple dried fruit crumble from the UK, so they're doing well. Sparkling blue velvet cupcakes. And if you don't want something delicious, no sugar added lemon cookies. So, yay to that.
Aww.
My God. It's insulting. Anyways, so yeah, you can do a couple of nice things if you want to experience Illuminations in some different ways outside of just watching Illuminations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Illuminations is going to be replaced over the next however long. So catch it while you can. That is something that it's been there forever. I love Illuminations. I really do.
Yeah.
But something new obviously has to be better than Illuminations. And good luck on that. But please surprise us. That would be grand. Does anyone else have anything for Epcot?
I guess just test. Oh, we're doing attractions last? Are we still doing?
We'll hold on. Yeah, we'll do all the attractions afterwards because I want to first see what's your first pick.
Okay.
So we'll hold on to that, though.
Okay.
Want to move over, Bri? Which park do you want to go to next?
Let's go to... You want to just do Animal Kingdom, I guess? Since there's really not much at night there.
There isn't. I think me and Melissa are the only two who have experienced it.
I was just
going to
say, yeah, I haven't done anything at night there.
Okay. Every time I've gone, they close before.
This is obviously something that will greatly increase over the next 2 years, because I'm hearing that Avatar Land was going to still be like a year and a half to 2 years.
Wow.
Which is way too long.
It is. They really
got to
speed it up.
That's way too long. Come on, guys.
Especially because it's already been under construction for a year.
How long is Star Wars going to take? 5-6 years? Because if it does, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, because Universal's popping them out, and quality.
Every year they're opening an attraction. Every year.
Yeah.
So Star Wars Land better say 2.5 years. Two and a half years. I don't know. Pay overtime. You've got to do something. If they take 5 to 6 years to build Star Wars, Universal is going to catch up.
Yeah.
Because by that time, Universal will build another Harry Potter section, probably. And they're going to build Nintendo, which that is, they are going to announce those plans very soon, actually, for whatever Nintendo-themed thing that Universal is going to be doing. And it's going to be in Florida.
Okay.
There's going to be a part of it in Florida.
And that's going to be cool.
That's going to be really cool. Yeah. So Disney has to start upping the construction level a lot. So, but for what we experienced, we were there for about an hour and a half almost in pure darkness over at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, which was fabulous because I'd never seen it like that.
Yes. That was the first time we were in there. It was great. But the really great part was, you don't realize it, but there are lights for nighttime already there. We also saw, I guess you could call it a preview of Pandora, because there were those Pandora blue lights on the Tree of Life.
Yes, I do remember that.
That was pretty interesting.
It was beautiful.
I didn't think that they were going to do something Pandora-esque with the Tree of Life, even though it really does kind of make sense. But seeing those lights on it, it was a specific blue. It wasn't just blue. It was the blue that you see in that movie.
Yeah.
And then we did Everest.
Yes.
But we'll hold on to that.
Yes. But yeah, even walking over near Everest.
Guess what my first thing would be.
Yeah, the only thing would be. The walking over near Everest, you know, they have like the lights. They're just bare light bulbs strung up across the walkway, but it just is so beautiful. I remember like taking a picture of that because it was just so gorgeous.
Yeah, next time I'll bring a camera with a tripod because it wasn't a picture you could just kind of snap away too easily with it being clear because it was so dark.
Mine was definitely blurry.
Exposure. Yeah,
but it kind of led like that. I don't know.
Blurry look to it?
No, not the word I'm looking for, but almost like you had a memory kind of thing. I don't know. It's artsy.
Well, I would assume Animal Kingdom would be like kind of like string lights and lanterns and...
Yeah, to go with the theme of the lands that...
Yeah, you don't want to just have like a giant lamp out of nowhere.
Just fantasy land lamps.
Like chandeliers hanging somewhere.
Yeah. It's all Beauty and the Beast chandeliers. it's everywhere.
And the
yes,
over near the dinosaur, the Dino Land, the arcade stuff. That was like the best thing at night. Was
it
that
was
all lit
really
up.
Cool? It made me actually want to go and play those games.
Yeah, because you felt like you were at a carnival.
I don't want to. I just walked through there.
Yeah,
but yeah, it looked nice. It's gonna be really really great. So we can't go too crazy into Animal Kingdom because we've only experienced it once, and it's not something that's normally happening yet.
Yeah.
But it was a great preview to get us excited to see how it's going to go.
Now, with that, with the nighttime safari, is that going to wait until the Pandora expansion as well?
No, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive, but I also don't know if they have figured out that, okay, when the park goes nighttime, is there enough outside of Pandora to keep people occupied?
Right.
I personally think yes.
Especially if you do a nighttime safari with, you know...
If the nighttime safari is going to go in earlier and you have Everest, you have Dinosaur, you have Dino Spin, obviously the Bugs Life 3D show still works.
Yeah.
Everything seems to work except for the trek walks.
And
I'm not sure.
And Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Oh, does it? I guess so.
Yeah, because it's
animals,
over by the animals. Yeah.
But that's what the safari is. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I've heard that they're doing the permits for a nighttime safari, but as of right now, when the park closes at sunset, or you know, when things close at sunset, Rafiki's Planet Watch is one of those things,
it
along with the
it,
walkthrough,
which
safaris.
Is a bummer because That would be one of the things I would say. But yeah, it closes at dusk.
Yeah. But now the new Harambe Village is over there, the marketplace.
Yeah.
So that has a whole bunch of food and stuff. So you can, you know, that could be bustling. So yeah, if you had the safari open, could be really great to be right there.
I think there's enough to keep people busy. Oh,
yeah.
I think so. So I'm hoping I hope next year, the nighttime portion, slow rolling out that portion of Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I hope that happens. That sounds like it would be such a fun time.
Yeah. I can't wait.
And that'll be a great split day park. You go in the morning, do the animal stuff, go early, and then, you know, hang out in the afternoon, pool, whatever you do, and then go back at night and check out the night stuff.
What is that nighttime safari going to be?
I don't know.
I mean, do you have night vision goggles?
Night vision goggles.
Is there a T-Rex? Is there a...
a gyro ball?
Is there a lamp? Yeah, is there a gyro ball for some stupid reason? Because that looked really like a great idea.
I'd be in for that.
That didn't look completely just made up so something could happen to it in the movie. God, the movie's dumber the way... The further I get away from it, the stupider that movie is. Where next? Where to next?
I guess Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, we'll save,
we'll save the big one for last. Hollywood Studios... I don't really have much there other than walking around. Hollywood Boulevard. I can never remember what is the names of them. Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard, or Hollywood.
Boulevard is the road leading to
the one going to
Tower.
Tower. Yeah. I just at night it just really comes to life.
Yeah, it has that classic, you know, Hollywood 1930s, 40s, 50s kind of feel. The
cocaine everywhere.
No.
Lots of cool neon lights and stuff like that.
Yeah,
up on the
and that's one of those places in the park. I like to sit on the bench and just kind of hang out for a bit and watch watch everything go by. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. And the tower looks great at night.
Yeah. That lit up.
That's really cool.
Brian, you're correct, by the way. It's Hollywood Boulevard is your main stretch, and then Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, so they are both boulevards. For some reason, it didn't sound right to me.
Hollywood Street? No, was that what you thought maybe it was?
No. But Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard, I didn't... But yeah, that section of the park is... That section doesn't really need to change too much. I think that's a really nice...
I think that's going to pretty much... Except for the Beauty and the Beast. That's
at the end, you have the theater down there.
Bring some TNT to that area.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, folks. All right? Some really heavy-duty TNT. I didn't have anything in Hollywood Studios.
I mean, obviously the show.
Fantasmic, but you know.
Yeah, but again, like that's
not something you can do.
Saying wishes, you know, Magic Kingdom, like,
or Illuminations. You can't do those during the day anyway. So,
exactly. So Hollywood Studios, woof! You're killing us, guys. Killing us with Hollywood Studios.
Well, hopefully not for much longer.
Let's get to the park everyone wants to talk about, shall we?
Let's get there.
And then we'll get to the big fun stuff, which is the attractions.
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously, Hollywood Studios has one of the best nighttime attractions.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So they'll be getting some love in a bit, not too much further. So Magic Kingdom, not much to do there, right?
No, it's kind of boring, Paul.
Okay, boring. Go over. We're done there. Let's first talk about one of the things I like to do. Because it's so busy at night, unless I have a fast pass for something, I generally don't go too crazy on that. I really like going around Main Street and looking at all the windows and listening to the party line in the chapeau.
Yes.
Chapeau? The hat shop. over to your right as you're entering. That's a lot of fun. There's a phone in the chapeau store. You can pick it up and just listen to conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. One of the other little hidden details like that is, as you were to exit, it's on the side street. On your right-hand side, as you're going down Main Street, right near the Crystal Arts store.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down that side street, I want to say there's restrooms there. I believe there is. And just listen, you'll hear singing lessons.
Yes.
From the floors up top. Yeah. And it's another one of those small details in Main Street that I absolutely love. But that's what I like doing. And I just like walking around Main Street specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking up at the windows and going in and out of the shops. But finding all the small details that if you're in there and you're trying to go commando, you're never, ever going to notice because you're just running through Main Street to get to the attractions.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Main Street to me is an attraction.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have said it, I guess.
You broke your rule.
Broke my own rules. But Melissa, what do you like doing? Is there anything specific in Magic Kingdom outside of attractions?
Same thing. I like walking around. I like, in particular, walking around over near Liberty Square and Frontierland. Again, it's one of those, like, not very well lit areas, but the places, you know, that are lit and having the Liberty Bell lit up at night, you know, it's really gorgeous. Just seeing the lights on the water and everything.
Now, Tom Sawyer Island, that unfortunately, I believe, closes at dusk also.
I believe so.
Yes.
That's a bummer. Because that place at night would be really kind of cool and creepy.
It would be.
You'd probably break your neck. I would break my neck.
You could go there when it's starting to get dark.
Yeah.
And then just take your time getting out of there.
Yeah, probably.
You know, walk through the caves. It's pretty fun.
That would be pretty good.
It's pretty fun. Yeah, you have. It's like a workaround because it's not really open that late.
Yeah.
Are you raising your hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't call.
Sorry, I know.
Wow.
I remembered something and I wanted it.
Very well.
Aiden.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, this is a new section over in New Fantasyland. It's the restroom for Tangled. But I just love that lighting that they do on Rapunzel's Tower, and I love the lanterns that they put up. That when I saw that, I was, you know, thrilled by it. I just thought it was the prettiest thing, and that's why I bugged the photographer for our picture over there, because I just love that when we got our wedding pictures over there.
Yeah, I like that area a lot.
And I wish we could have done it at night, but
I wish it was more than a restroom.
I know.
Tangled deserves an attraction.
It does. Maybe something in Hollywood Studios could do.
I guess, yeah. Maybe. It would really, really fit in Fantasyland, but
yeah, but yeah, they kinda...
whatever. You know, wherever. Doesn't matter. I'm okay with it.
Give
wherever.
Me something.
Give me a hair ride. I don't know. I don't know. What would it be?
I don't know.
Just a strand of hair.
You take out Aerosmith and you put in your writing on her hair.
Well, you know what? They have like they have the rock walls. You just climb up her hair.
That would be cool.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's made out of real human hair.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
That's so donations sad. Wanted.
And what would a Tangled attraction look like? Let's say you can't do a dark ride. Dark ride is, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I think you have to do a dark ride.
Damn it.
I really can't think of anything.
Unless you
else
did
you
like
could
a 4D like movie, like, but it would be like Flynn's Adventures
yeah,
or
like
something.
Yeah, like a Shrek type thing they have in Universal, but with Flynn.
That would be all right.
Yeah, that might be good.
He's got to rescue her and get away from.
You know what? I love that movie, but Flynn really suffers from the DreamWorks face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With that one eyebrow up.
Yeah,
that whole movie, actually.
I was just going to say, that's very... If I didn't know, I might think that that's not a Disney movie.
No, like, I like the quality of it, but the animation...
No, I meant looking at it, just from looking at
the... facial animation,
at it.
It's a lot of eyebrow up in the air,
uh-huh.
Which is, if you look on the internet, it's kind of like a joke. It's called the DreamWorks face, because every DreamWorks poster, there's a character with their one eyebrow raised, and Flynn Rider suffers through that pretty much the entire runtime of the film.
But do you think they kind of did that on purpose because he was like enforcing like the smolder, like he was kind of joking around about it? So I don't know if that was
not
like,
the whole time. It shouldn't happen. It should happen
it.
When he's doing that joke.
Yeah, and that's
but
it.
He does it all the time, and he even goes one eyebrow to the other. It's kind of endless. It sticks out.
Okay.
It will now, anyway. If you didn't think of it before, you'll notice it now. Scott, what do you have for Magic Kingdom?
My favorite to do is, Tomorrowland. I like walking around Tomorrowland at night.
I've heard of that place.
And the first time I actually noticed the thing that I'm going to talk about is at the Halloween party. They have like a little dance section, you know, where the Monsters, Inc. characters came out. And they had like a little dance party.
Yeah.
Is that where they usually have the Incredibles dance party?
Yeah.
Yes.
So now they're doing Incredibles dance party. But the first time I saw it was for the Halloween thing. And it was really fun. Especially with Connor, you know. He didn't want to go near the guys in the, you know, the...
Big suits.
Yeah, the big suits. But he had fun. And that's just a good time to... Because I believe Space Mountain is right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you have the Astro Orbiter over there. So it's kind of...
When you're walking in, if you're staring at Space Mountain, it's to your right.
Right.
It's between Space Mountain and...
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also Carousel. It's like a triangle.
Yes.
That little triangle area. Yeah.
I just wish they wouldn't play popular songs over there. That's the only thing that bugs me about that dance floor thing.
Yeah.
It does kind of break the mood of Tomorrowland very greatly. But you have that problem if you do that anywhere in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a fan of that day parade that I believe they're still doing where...
Jamboree.
Yeah. Jamboree? Is that what it's called?
It's like the Look up the name of it.
Yeah, look up. I'm not a fan of it. It plays pop music.
Yeah, no.
And you hear it all the way down Main Street, and it just sucks all the atmosphere right out of there. And, you know, it's like, hashtag us at blah, blah, blah to hear what terrible song we're going to play next. And it's like everything that I hate about technology thrown into Main Street.
Yeah, it's so it really pulls you out.
I understand that they do it because they're trying to connect with the younger generation, but maybe you don't have to play down.
Yeah, I don't think you have to.
I don't think you have to.
I don't think so.
You never had to do that before. I don't think it's really necessary yet. No. Do you have the names?
Yeah, I guess they changed it now. It's the Move It, Shake It, Dance and Play It Street Party.
No, that's been the one for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Jamboree is the Animal Kingdom.
Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking.
That is definitely what it's called, and I'm not a fan of that. And I'm usually not one of those people who are like, I don't know, I want to say old-timey in their likes, but totally crashing the atmosphere of Main Street is not something necessary.
No, that's something you could, Hollywood Studios, they could have it in. Or even, honestly, Epcot, they could do that in if they had a path, they could do something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't even know where you would have a path for that. But not in, I don't believe so either.
In the Magic Kingdom. In front of the castle going down Main Street. They also, I remember we were there once, they were playing Happy.
Yeah.
Which is a song from,
from the Minions,
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. Yeah.
Which is a Universal movie.
It was weird.
That's weird to hear, just as I wouldn't expect to hear a Frozen song while walking through Universal Studios. I would be slightly confused.
But you know what's weird? Disney Channel plays Despicable Me, Despicable Me 2. They show the movies. I always find very strange. I don't know why they do that.
With those movies? I watch them. They're not that funny.
No.
And I love everyone in that film. Yeah. Like, if you just read to me the cast list, but I don't know, I watched it a couple of times now. It doesn't do anything for me at all.
I don't know.
And the Minions movie didn't do very well.
No.
I think they kind of, Minions are very popular, but I think they overjudged that one a little bit.
They're sidekicks for a reason.
Yeah. It was a Steve Carell movie, and then it became like a Minions thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were popular. So they had
to retcon the movie.
Really?
Well, because in the movie, Steve Carell says that he created them. And now it's like, no, Minions are something that have been here since the dawn of time.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so they
actually
had to retcon their own movie just to squeeze in a movie.
Wow.
That's bad.
That is.
So, but it didn't do great. It really, to what they were expecting, it didn't do that great.
No.
Which was kind of satisfying. I don't know why, but I look at other films. I don't know. Let's think of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph is the good version of Pixels.
Yes.
But Wreck-It Ralph didn't get the love that I felt it really deserved. It did okay.
Yeah.
It did well enough to get a sequel.
Yeah.
But it didn't do as well, you know. So when Pixels fell on its face this weekend, which it really did.
Oh, it did. It deserved it.
It made under $30 million for a movie starring video games and Adam Sandler, which to a point has been like successful. And Ant-Man still beat it, which was great.
Yeah. I feel bad that I contributed $14 to it, but we'll talk about that on the other show.
Yeah, that's the other show. So sorry about that little movie sidetrack there. Go ahead, Brian.
I have just two things in the Magic Kingdom that I really like. I love at night walking through, going over that bridge into Adventureland. I just love the sign and, with the torches and everything. And I like to walk through Adventureland, over into Frontierland, and then down to Liberty Square. It is probably, at night, the quietest you're going to find in the park is that section.
True.
Just walking through there, it's very quiet. It's beautiful the way it's lit. It's one of those very dim areas also. Tomorrowland is very bright for the most part. Main Street is bright. But those two sections, as you walk through them, it's that dim lighting and just that section over by Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really quiet. It's just a nice, relaxing place to walk. I love to get a Dole Whip over there and just walk through.
Yeah, which makes the pirate like scavenger hunt that we talked about last week so great.
I definitely going to do that next time when I go.
Yeah, if we didn't talk about it last week, I was going to bring it up. Well, I mean, as you said, get a Dole Whip and then do the Pirates thing.
Yeah.
Take your time with
it. And remember that they switched the Dole Whip and the Sunshine Terrace stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to remember that because I'm going to go to the wrong one.
Walk right by it.
I actually... No, go ahead. I'm sorry, bro.
Oh, no, no.
I don't actually have anything.
Oh, the other thing I have is... this was something I had also for one of my hidden gems. I don't honestly... I wanted to talk about it, but I had two things. I talked about the opening ceremony. It's the Kiss Goodnight. I don't know if a lot of people have seen it or even know about it. It's something that happens. It takes place usually about 30 minutes after the park closes. The castle will start to twinkle, and you'll hear the one Wish Upon a Star musical come on. And then they just, it's kind of like they're the park's goodnight to you, and, you know, to thank you for coming and say goodbye. They say a little bit about Walt. And, you know, then it plays, the When You Wish Upon a Star plays and goes out, and the castle is lit up, and it's kind of like flashing. It's just a really nice and touching thing to watch. It always gets me a little choked up when I see it. And they definitely do it a half hour afterwards. And I believe they do it, I've heard it more than once when I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes when the parks close, you don't have to leave the parks. You know, the people walking around for a good hour, hour and a half after the parks close, because they want you in the shops and stuff. Can't go on rides or anything, but you can walk around Main Street and go in the shops and things like that. But that's something to check out. It's about a half hour after the park closes. You'll know it's starting because you'll hear it. The music will come on and you'll see the castle twinkle. And it's just a cool little thing. It's about 2 minutes long.
Nice. Yeah, last week when we were doing the gems, I had looked it up and I didn't know if it was still there. Yeah,
as far so I mean, last time up, we went, it was there.
I never knew. I never knew that they did that.
Yeah,
but that
they
was
do it all that they do
something
it.
I'm going to check out when we go in December.
I remember the first time I saw it was we had dinner at Cinderella's castle.
Oh, that was
And when we had exited, this was on. I wasn't. This was a different trip.
Okay.
Yeah, we had been walked out, and there was a security guard waiting for us because we were the last people in the park.
Well, that one time we went, we were the last people there too. But I just remember,
so
it was a group
twice.
Of us. We walked down. We walked down Main Street, and there was like nobody.
Yeah, there was no one there. It was pretty. It's pretty phenomenal when you do when that timing works out.
Yeah.
I wanted to step outside of Magic Kingdom just really quick. I had two other places I wanted to talk about because Disney World has many, many of things. Number one is heading over to Trader Sam's.
Yes.
Over in the Polynesian, but a little specific. Not sitting inside Trader Sam's, going outside to the Tiki Terrace where they have live Hawaiian music, and then eating and drinking out there, maybe leaving yourself a little room for an additional drink, and then going inside later in the night. Maybe it's not as crowded. Again, a weekday is much more manageable to do all this stuff. Because when you order drinks inside, you get all the special effects and whatnot.
Right.
But to sit outside during the live music portion and eating and all that, top notch.
Yeah.
Be careful of one thing. It is outdoors, and it does border water. If you're sitting near the water, make sure you've put like mosquito spray on you or something. Because you will get torn up. By all the mosquitoes that they get in that area.
Yeah. They also have out there, they have like a, it's not a big waterfall, but it's just like a wall of water that is just constantly like a sound of water running. And I don't know, I love that kind of noise. So between that and the, you know, orange kind of lighting, I don't remember if they had actually tiki torches, but they definitely had something.
I don't remember specifically, no.
Yeah, they had the lighting, those like orangey lighting, and the live music. It was just a perfect atmosphere.
Yeah.
Definitely relaxing.
So I would put that on top of your list if you're looking for a night in Disney, not specifically in the parks. Secondly, you can make an entire night out of going to the Boardwalk Inn and Villas. Walking around the boardwalk at night is gorgeous. You can head over to the Atlantic Dance Hall. I would those suggest Jelly Rolls. Because they have dueling pianos, and dueling pianos wins everything. On top of that, you can take a pontoon boat and do the Epcot fireworks cruises. Actually, you can do that also. And you would have to, I believe you have to walk over to the Yacht and Beach Club Marina, but you can walk there from the boardwalk area as well. Call up for details and all that good stuff. So, and then you can go to Weiland Galleries and wonder why anyone would buy half the stuff in there, because it's some strange things in there. We saw that one piece of art that I was so confused about. It was somebody on the beach looking out onto the waves, but then superimposed in the clouds was a huge picture of a dog's face. And I had to ask, I was like, what is going on in this right now? And they said that it was... somebody had lost a dog, so it was that's their dog's face, and it was like them in heaven. They then told me that it usually makes people, when they tell the story, cry. But it was such a strange-looking painting, I couldn't cry. But they have some really nice stuff in there, some great Disney art.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mixed in with some...
weird things.
There's some random stuff in there. But it's fun to walk through.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to buy anything from it, but it's definitely interesting. So just taking a night, having dinner maybe over at Flying Fish, walking around the boardwalk, head over to Jelly Rolls. If you want to, take a rent one of the pontoons and do the Epcot fireworks cruise, which is quite awesome.
Yeah.
So that would be my outside of the parks. Yeah. Do you guys want to dive into the fun part? Do you want to just talk about attractions that are superior at night?
Sure.
Yes.
Or did you have other things you wanted to throw in before we go there?
Well, the only other thing I would say is a lot of the hotels are really cool at night. So you can, you know, check those out.
Just sneak around people's rooms.
Yeah, yeah, sneak around their rooms, you know, knock on doors, run away. Yeah. No, but walking on the grounds and stuff of some of the hotels are really, they're just really, you know, nice.
Yes, we talked about it last time. Some of them have campfires, some of them, they have the movies under the stars kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff is great. Just to also touch back on Magic Kingdom, for the holiday parties, for the not-so-scary Halloween party in the fall, and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party in the around the Christmas time, at night, you know, they're there and they're just beautiful in Magic Kingdom. The effects that they do for Halloween, you know, making the smoke machine, giving it that eerie, again, the lighting effects, it's really cool. And the holiday stuff, I don't know, for Christmas is my favorite.
Going around the table, starting with Brian, going off what you just said.
Okay.
Brian, if you had to pick one, the Christmas party or the Halloween party, what would you go with?
Halloween. The Halloween parade I like better. Christmas, I like the whole Christmas atmosphere better. But I do like the parade better for the Halloween.
So, if you had to pick one.
Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah. Okay. Wrong answer. Melissa. No, I'm just
kidding. So we're going to do a whole podcast on this.
We are going to do one. This is just a taste.
Okay.
If the whole podcast was me just asking one question and then we went on, it'd be 5 minutes long.
I don't know, I'm kind of torn like Brian, but I do think the Christmas one for me just holds a little bit more like memory kind of stuff.
Scott?
Halloween.
Okay.
Oogie Boogie.
All right.
That's why.
Just some Oogie words.
Boogie. That's it.
Oogie Boogie Halloween.
That's it.
Good enough.
I wish I had more. No, actually, because last time we went to the Halloween, they just recently added Jack and Sally as characters you can meet.
My God,
and we were going to do that, and it was like a 2-hour-long line, and I said, no.
That's the problem with the Halloween one. The lines are crazy because a lot of the characters aren't out any other time, the villains.
Don't get me wrong, the Christmas is beautiful, but I think even for somebody with children, I think the Halloween one is better.
Well, I like the free hot cocoa and cookies better than candy, cheap candy.
Although the candy corn ice cream.
Over it, that's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Pete, what's yours favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to wait till the show. all right, so let's do the... Oh, mine's obvious.
Well, it's said Halloween. Was wrong.
I know. Well, I was going to say we're split. That's why we need to talk about a whole episode.
Mine, I would lean towards the Halloween. I feel like there's more to do. Even if it takes longer to do all those things, there is more to do. Again, though... I really wish it would extend past Main Street.
Yeah, that's
my biggest problem with both of the parties.
Yeah, because then if that factors in, oh man, new Fantasyland lit up like Christmas, like decorated for Christmas.
Yeah,
or even, that would look just incredible.
Like picture Dumbo's at the circus, the big tent, you know,
carolers walking around Liberty Square.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
Even when they do it in Disneyland, like the Jungle Cruise turns into like the Jingle Cruise, like that kind of stuff would be great. You know.
Yeah.
See, I wish they would do something because in Haunted Mansion, I think they still do this. Disneyland, they redo Haunted Mansion, the graveyard scene, I think it is.
They do the whole
thing. The whole ride.
Okay, but that's the point. Yeah. Like in Disneyland, they could shut down that ride for a couple of months to do it.
Yeah.
Can't do that in World.
Because that's like one thing that I want to do so bad. I just want to go to Disneyland and just go on that.
They have to shut it down. I forget how long it is. It's a matter of a couple of weeks. But they can't do that every year in Disney World because tourists would lose their minds.
Right.
You know, stuff closes now because it's broke and people are like, how could you possibly close this?
Yeah, that's the big difference
between
the two.
You can do that in Disneyland, Disney World. you've got to understand that people are there to see certain attractions a lot more.
Yeah.
So they try to keep maintenance to a minimum, which not doesn't work out for the best all the time. Hi, Yeti. you know, but that's but I unfortunately agree. I definitely want to go to California.
For I mean, that. Especially yeah. Haunted Mansion itself. Yeah. I mean, I've been on there countless times where the ride stops.
Yeah.
For you know 5-10 minutes, you know, 2 or 3 times in one ride sometimes. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times with that too, it's getting somebody off.
It's, yeah, yeah, that's also it's usually getting somebody usually
if it's
off
a quick
ride.
One. If it happens multiple times, it's because they have to get somebody off the ride. They yeah. can't just you know because they're what's those continuously moving.
Loaders, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have to.
But yeah, my lean would go towards the Halloween party.
Spit 2-2. We have to have a duel.
That's because yep. he's evil and we're
Charlie. Yes, it's true. Exactly. Yes, okay. I don't like minions. I don't like things, fluffy things. I don't like
fluffy things.
I'm not evil, but I like Halloween.
What?
Yeah, your beard says otherwise.
Okay. Your beard is a little crooked. Okay, let's go into the thing everyone wanted to talk about from the beginning, and that is what attractions interest you the most during night more than day? Like, what trumps it? What's your number one? Let's start with that.
Ooh.
Wow. Even now that we're talking about the thing you want to talk about the most?
I'll go first for that, then.
Well, no, I'm just saying, because I have so many that are, like, so close now.
See, now, what if he steals yours?
He won't.
Because you can option off to one of the other ones?
Yes.
Okay. Hers is Bugs Life 3-day.
My favorite.
I will flip this table if that's your answer.
Well, mine is Space Mountain, so we're all right. It's just extra dark at night. My favorite attraction at night to go on is Big Thunder, the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad
mm-hmm.
in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love it at night. It's great during the day, don't get me wrong, but at night it's just really cool. And if you time it right, you can see, you know, when Wishes is going off, you can see the fireworks that's as right, you're on
right.
the ride.
That's right. Look at my number one, baby.
Yeah, it feels like faster and longer at night.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's
make a fast pass reservation for it.
Yeah, that's definitely. Oh, I always make one for night for that ride. Yeah, I love it.
9 o'clock. So even if you get there and it takes you like 10 minutes to get on the actual ride, mm-hmm. it's still going on as you're on the ride.
Yeah.
Makes it phenomenal.
Definitely.
It is phenomenal. If you get it when it's on Wishes.
Yeah.
It's great also if you've
not. Oh, well,
of
course, yeah.
But man, if the fireworks are going off, it's so much better.
It's just something. It's something else.
It's so much better. Melissa, what would yours be?
Well, mine, I guess my top one right now would be Everest at night. Because I've only gotten to do it like a couple times, but it was in one night.
We did get to do it like 3 times.
We got to do it 3 times.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was super dark. When you're first on it, when you go like around the bend before you actually do like the climb up, and there was no light.
There are no lights back
and
there.
And it was fabulous because you were like, I could die right now and no one would know till the ride's over.
I don't know if that's true, but very well.
Well, because there's no light.
No, I would know. Anyways, it's a technicality. No, it's really, and I really hope they don't put lights back there.
Yeah, I don't want them to change
I don't
that.
Want them to adjust it for when they officially open.
Yeah.
Because we went back there and everyone got a big thrill out of being in the pitch dark. And then you start the lift and you're looking at the mountain. And that's kind of the first thing you see that's lit.
Yeah.
And it really added a whole new dimension to that ride. That ride is my favorite roller coaster in the parks.
Yes.
Yeah.
At night, it became my favorite. I know I just said Big Thunder Mountain
mm-hmm.
because of the fireworks and all that.
Yeah.
But if we're just talking about thrill factor.
Yeah.
At night, what ride turns into a whole different experience at night? It's Everest for me.
Yeah. And since we only got to do it once and it was so amazing. Well, we got to do it one night, but yeah. It was so amazing those times. I want that to be in every.
Remember when we first went by it was closed.
Yeah.
We stayed at Animal Kingdom specifically to ride this thing at night, and then the sun went down. We went over there and it was closed.
Oh no!
We were like, no. But then 10 minutes later, we were walking by it. There was no line, and were we able to just stay on it, or we actually went through the queue 3 times?
We went on the queue 3 times.
Okay. So. God, that was fun.
Yeah, it was really
fun. That was
fun.
Really great. Scott, what do you think?
My favorite would be Splash Mountain.
My God, I don't think I've ever done that at night because I go with you and you don't ever like doing water rides.
Not in my clothes.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Well, you can't go nude.
Well, yeah.
Not wearing a bathing suit, so.
Oh, all right, very well. I like to go nude, that's why. So,
my response to that is I sit behind Brian and I really don't get wet.
It's a good point.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good strategy to have.
It's a good strategy.
The view that you get right before the drop.
Yeah, that money shot at night
is beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah. Especially if you can get, sometimes they have that that boat that goes around right by
the Liberty Bell?
No, the boat. The river boat?
Yes,
the Liberty Bell.
Oh, I thought you meant the actual.
Oh, not the Liberty Bell. No. Oh, that's the name of the boat.
That
Wait,
makes more sense. Am I wrong on sense.
The name of the boat? No, it is.
No, I'm pretty positive it's the Liberty Bell.
B-E-L-L-E. It's like, okay. Like Bell.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But it does close at sunset or dusk. Usually you can't get on that at night, but you can get on it towards dark.
Towards the darkness.
The darkness.
Yeah,
I've never done that ride at night.
Yeah, it's really
nice.
Myself.
Yeah, it's fun. Really it is nice. It is nice at night. It definitely is.
I'll have to go buy my onesies. Or just throw on a... We have the ponchos.
Yeah, I just want my bottom half. I don't like when my bottom half gets wet.
Understandable. But we'll use a poncho.
Okay.
That's... what. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. See what I got to deal with? See, everyone thinks that I'm mean, but she won't even go on Splash Mountain. That's what I'm dealing with right now,
yeah,
folks.
For all the ladies out there who would understand walking around
all
with
the single
pants,
ladies? All the single
all
ladies?
All the single ladies.
But can't you wear, bathing suit bottom?
But if your shorts are wet,
why can't
or
you
your pants
wear,
are wet...
wear shorts that are, mesh or something so that they don't
That's
really
not
stay
fashionable.
I'm still...
No, girls' fashion and function don't...
I'm still confused as to why a poncho doesn't work.
Because you're sitting down. Your poncho covers your top half, not your bottom
half.
Well,
you wrap it around
your
bottom
half. Yeah.
You know what you do? You put your feet inside a garbage bag, you pull it up around your waist, and you tie it off.
Yeah, okay.
You can do
That's
that too.
Extremely fashionable.
It is.
Totally. It's All fine. Right, I next like time.
It. Okay. Those are some tips for avoiding water.
Well, just do like Melissa doesn't even go on at night.
I'm going to jump to another ride that I think takes on a whole new experience at night in the Magic Kingdom, and that is a Seven Dwarfs mine cart. Actually, only do this ride at night. I don't know. There's something about it that it's so much nicer at night.
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet, so I'm so looking forward to doing this. Right?
That's
Would you suggest my first time being at night?
Yes
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
For the simple reason, my main reason would be that queue at night is almost in the pitch dark, even though there's lights everywhere. It's kind of amazing. They pull off both at the same time. But when you go to the very last section, pretty much when you're waiting to get unloaded, you are witnessing the Snow White dancing with the dwarves scene. In the daytime, there's a good chance that you're just going to get a reflection off the plexiglass that you would look into the building off of.
Oh, okay.
And at night, you get to see everything. The lighting is gorgeous. Going through the twists and turns at night is really nice. You get blinded by a flash at one point, but everything about that ride is more impressive at night. Because also, as you were saying before with Big Thunder, darkness will give you that illusion of faster and more turn, base. Mm-hmm. Where during the day, it's not supposed to be an intense ride. It's supposed to be a ride for all ages.
Yeah.
So I don't expect that, but you get the illusion of that at night a little bit more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion. Melissa, would you agree with that?
I would definitely. I love that ride. And for your first time going on it, definitely do it at night.
Yeah, wait till nighttime.
Okay.
Wait till nighttime.
Actually, what I would suggest is wait till close to park close. Go through the regular queue on that, because they have some really fun interactive stuff in that queue that I think is worth it. To wait on it.
I'll probably do a fast pass.
And then go back and try.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because if you're on the line before the ride, before the park closes, so that would be the time.
Yeah, that's
to
always
do that.
Just one of the best tips. If you want to go on a ride that's very busy, if you're willing to stay up and whatnot, everyone in your party is up for it, 10 minutes before the park closes, as long as that ride is open, go on a standby. Yeah. Because as long as you're in the standby line before the park officially closes, you're going to get on that ride. So if there's anything that during the day it was too busy and you didn't want to spend an hour and a half of the time that you had available, just do it the last thing.
We used to always do that for Toy Story Mania when it was the old Fast Pass system, because you'd get your morning Fast Pass and then you were done with that ride. You wouldn't be able to do it the rest of the day, but we would always go on right before the park closes, and then maybe it's only a half hour wait.
Did anyone else have anything in particular for Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one.
Scott, why don't you? We were just talking about Scott, and then back to Melissa.
This next one is actually not the ride itself, but it's actually the walkthrough, the queue, that I find is so much better at night, and that's Haunted Mansion. I love the fact that in the day it's beautiful, it's really cool to walk through, but at night you get that feeling like, yeah, I'm going to go into a Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it just that makes it amplifies your feeling.
The
your
atmosphere.
Emotion. Yeah, it makes you feel like you're going to be scared.
You get the lightning flashes on the house.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that
and
is
And then
good.
They have you know, the stuff that you walk through that you can even, you know,
the interact
with. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever solve the mystery?
No.
When you're
with
first...
the book, right?
No. It's actually with the statues.
Okay.
You get the statues in the front, and if you read them, you have to figure out who killed who.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite fun.
Hidden gem.
Yeah, actually, I probably should have brought that up last week.
Oops.
You know, the thing with the hidden gem, I felt it's such a weird subject to cover because it's such a wide berth of what could be described as a hidden gem.
Yeah.
So I'm happy we did the episode, but honestly, listening back to the episode, I don't know if we nailed it. Because it's such a weird term to cover.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, it's such a weird term to cover. We could have done it differently, but I don't know. People, I guess, enjoyed it. I don't know. Melissa, what was the one that you wanted to bring up?
Well, one of them that I really like at night is the Astro Orbiter. First of all, it's lit up beautifully at night. And then to go on it, again, if you catch it during fireworks, you know, you're on top of Tomorrowland, so the castle's right over there, and you see Space Mountain, and... I don't know. It's a great view of most of the park. And then if you're seeing the fireworks, it's really cool, too.
Yeah. If you're willing to, like, stick your head out and you can control yourself to look around that much.
Yeah.
That's
it's
a
little, super high.
It is. And also, you know, it goes at a fair enough pace that you're kind of pulled into the corner.
Yeah.
You know, or to the outside, I should say, of the ride vehicle, which is fun. Not fun with two people, though.
Not two adults, no.
No.
Yeah, no. Two adults is pretty much torture. Yes. That is a torturous ride.
We learned our lesson.
All right. Do you want to say the one that you've been waiting to say? Because I know it's... I'm surprised this wasn't your number
one. She should have said it because I'm going to take it right now.
Oh.
Wait, Magic Kingdom?
Yes, Magic Kingdom. Say it at the number... When I get to...
Oh, but I don't know if it's the same.
Well, we're going to find out. Oh. One, two, three, and then you guys say it, okay?
Okay.
So one, two, three.
Jungle Cruise.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
The skippers are just so much more kind of free at night. Especially if it's like magic hours and there's not a lot of people in the park. So the off-script stuff is...
That's specifically what I wrote down.
Yeah.
If you can get someone, hopefully they've been working all day and they're a little loopy.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a cast member who finally goes off script, that ride turns into the best ride of Magic Kingdom.
It does, yeah.
Brian, what's some of the things that you dig about it?
I like the... Just, again, the atmosphere at night. Yeah. It just makes everything in the parks better, but especially things like the Jungle Cruise. It actually kind of feels a little dangerous on the Jungle Cruise, which you don't get during the day. During the day, it feels more, you know,
campy
and just like fun. But at night, it's kind of, it's got that feeling to it.
That was a Will Smith laugh.
Yeah, that
was good. Threw that in there.
That's the thing I like about it is the atmosphere it really brings to it at night. And just, he's got the lantern, whatever, it's like the spotlight thing on the boat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that he's kind of... Yeah. It's just... It
going
it's
into the temple is much more interesting at night.
Yeah, definitely at night. Definitely.
And then coming out of it, you're like, it's still dark. What happened?
It's because the sun isn't up anymore.
Is that what happened?
Science.
Yes.
No, I totally... I thought really that was... Melissa, I thought that was going to be your number one.
I know.
I really thought that was going to be your number one. Well, that would be your 1B.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well, that would be your 1B. My number one wasn't in Magic Kingdom, so...
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have anything else from Magic Kingdom? Because I got one more thing if you don't.
I put in the Transit Authority.
That was my
other
thing.
Yeah,
the people mover.
That's another one that it's so much nicer at night.
It is.
Again, it's, you know, it's kind of repeatable, but the lighting setups in some of these places, it makes it feel like daytime is for commandoing your attractions and being like, okay, I wanna go on Peter Pan, I wanna go on Little Mermaid. I want to see all the attractions. And then when you go back at night, it's to be a little more selective, to slow yourself down.
Exactly.
And to enjoy the atmosphere of the parks a lot more.
Yeah.
Daytime's for tourists. Nighttime is for the people who might be a little more picky about, I want to see this. I want to see that. I want to look at this. I want to look at that. because it's just great.
Yeah,
it's
and that's kind of how I've gravitated to doing things. Like in the morning, it's like get all the rides out of the way.
Yeah.
And when you go back in the, at the nighttime, it's to more explore the parks and just, you know, take it, take some of the rides that...
Take it to the streets.
Take it to the streets. Some of the rides that are just better at night.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to waste, I don't want to waste my time, but I don't want to do an indoor dark ride at night, really. I'd rather, you know, do that in the morning and then do the rides that get enhanced by the nighttime.
Yeah.
I know, like, especially the lighting in front of the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Right by the waterfalls and the rocks are so illuminated, nice. Like, perfectly, almost.
I will say, you know what, though? There is, I'm really happy you brought that up. Another little hidden gemmy thing, I guess. You can only see it during the day, though. There's a hidden Nautilus.
Really?
In the queue for the Little Mermaid on the outside portion near the... what's the word? There's like a lagoon.
Okay.
But yeah, I like could only see it during the day. I was not able to see it at night.
Yeah.
So that's a little daytime thing for you to look for if you're a big fan.
And it's like etched in the rock. It's not like an actual little good Nautilus. Because we were looking for
I
that.
I was looking for an actual Nautilus. And it's etched into the rock.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's kind of abstract looking.
A little bit, yeah. It's like the front half of the Nautilus.
Yeah.
Like the
I had to have someone point it out to me.
Is this like an actual thing? Or is it just somebody like...
It's an actual thing. Much like the Jafar head.
Yeah.
In Animal Kingdom, in the
Pangani. In the Pangani, which still confuses me, because I would assume it would be in Maharaja's Jungle Truck, because it's
Aladdin.
Yeah, like, India. Yeah, I just thought. But anyways, that's a really cool one.
Yes.
And I know the Little Mermaid, when the first time I went on it at night, that's the first ride in Disney I remember I stopped. Like, there wasn't a long, you know, it's a very long line.
It's a long queue.
And I actually stopped and let, like, 17 people pass me because I was just looking at the waterfall and the rocks. You know, like, I got kind of lost for a minute.
You'll do that in Peter Pan also. Once you eventually get on that and you get to experience the new queue, I think you'll wind up wanting to play around in there a bit. And the mine cart, Seven Dwarfs mine cart, there is some really cool stuff in there with different kind of lighted water.
Yeah.
Which also, I'm not sure how that effect looks during the day.
I don't think it's I'm not sure.
We haven't done the normal queue during daytime. We've never done that.
No.
So I'm not really too sure that would go. Does anyone else have other? You have two hands up now this time. You're a strange
one. I was trying to mime something.
Tower of Terror?
Yes.
Yeah, I was. Yes. Don't do it during the day or at night.
Stay away from it altogether. For your safety.
No, What's your reasoning for that one?
Well, the main reasoning is when you get to the top and the thing's open during the day, if it's bright, you're just blinded, and then you go down the elevator shaft and it's dark. So sometimes you miss some of the effects if you're, like, you know, got the spots in your eyes from the sun. So doing it at night kind of lets you then experience the entire ride without sunspots.
Without getting blinded.
Yeah. By the light.
Yes. Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I remember we finally got to see the... Were they holograms? What were they?
It looked like it.
It looked like it, but I don't think it was. But, you know, you get to see, like, some of the people on the sides when you stop.
Yeah.
And they're just there, like, little body frames and whatnot. Really? We never noticed it during the day, and then we did it at night, because we're just usually not in Hollywood Studios that long that it's nighttime.
Yeah.
But that's going to be something that we adjust for now on. We got to start doing these parks... Maybe only at night.
Yeah.
During doing different stuff during the day, relaxing, and then spending all night in the park, making that like a whole trip.
Yeah, because even there's sections of it where there's like lightning crackling around the edges. And, you know, so it depends like where the stop is on the ride. But there's different portions of it that if you can't see it because you're blinded, it's, you know, it's really cool to
see
at night.
You're missing out on a lot of the fun of the ride.
And I remember the first time we saw those people, it was really creepy.
Yeah. We were not expecting that.
No.
Yeah.
So, did you guys have anything you wanted to add to that with Tower of Terror or something in Hollywood Studios?
Nothing else that I can think of in Hollywood Studios. Other than Studios. Tower of Terror was the only thing.
Yeah. Okay. And I usually have my eyes closed. Well.
Do you really?
No.
Oh, because some people do. And I'm
No, but it also does depend on where you...
Yeah.
Where they open those doors.
Where they open the doors, yeah.
Because sometimes they open it so options. High up and you don't really you see sky. You don't really see anything.
Sky.
Just sky.
There's a quick story with the Tower of Terror. First time he ever went on it, he didn't realize he didn't know anything about it. So we're sitting there, and we're all strapped in, and he didn't know that there was the grab bars next to you.
Oh, nice.
So he's going, and we're going, and he's like lifting up out of the seat and everything, and he didn't know you could grab on.
Like, my hips were like at everybody else's head.
Yeah. And I was like, this is awesome. And then he's like, what are you holding on to? I'm like, there's bars right there.
Don't hold on.
I hold on. Did you guys have anything you want to talk about before we call it a night?
No, I think we covered a lot.
That's pretty much
it. One thing I would say is Downtown Disney is definitely, at night, is definitely more lively.
That's true.
It is more lively, yeah.
I mean, you have the shows by Raglan Road. Mm-hmm. You have the House of Blues over by La Nuba.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something to check out.
During the
holidays. And just the overall, I mean, the Ghirardelli. Yeah. It's really nice to go get an ice cream and sit by the water.
I think what you picked up from this is the parks and everything is just much nicer at night.
Yeah.
The lighting and all that stuff is, and the atmosphere is just so much
even
nicer.
Even the outdoor store, the Lego store in downtown is cool because they have all those displays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have the lights on the displays, everything. It's
and
nice.
During the holidays outside of Fulton's Crab House, they usually have like some
live music.
Live music usually is like a violinist, a cellist, mm-hmm. or a clarinet player, I remember in particular.
It's just beautiful just to walk around.
Yeah, just walking downtown Disney and hearing all the different music as you're walking through is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then going to see the live music over at Raglan is always one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, and they have the dancers that come
the line
up.
Dancers and whatnot, yeah. Love downtown. Lord, Disney Springs, I guess we should
start.
Yeah, we should start calling it Disney Springs. Okay, just to give you an idea of what's going to be going on next week and for a number of weeks, whenever we do them. I'm not really sure about the schedule of how we're going to do this. We are going to go back and review every Disney animated film, starting, of course, with 1937's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I'm going to do a little bit of a history into the making of it. Nothing crazy, but, you know, some history into the making of the film. Then we're going to discuss the film itself and answer two specific questions. Does it hold up? And is it something that you would watch? Like, for you personally, is it something you like? And do you think it holds up after so many years? So we're going to start that next week. Obviously, when we have big news coming in, we'll still, you know, we'll do stuff like that. But we're going to start doing this, I want to say bi-weekly.
Sounds cool.
Because, you mean, there we got, what, 34? How many films are there? 34, 35?
34, I think.
Okay. So we have a whole lot of time to do, like almost a little over a year, you know, that we're going to, we could be doing this kind of stuff every other week. And then we'll, you know, we'll dive into the live action films, but a little more specific, like we're not going to do Walt Disney Pictures.
Yeah, no.
But like Pirates, 20,000 Leagues, stuff that has found their way into the parks.
Yes.
That has some kind of connection to the theme parks. Not Haunted Mansion, though. Guess what? It's terrible. Spoiler. That's it. That's your review. Thanks, Eddie Murphy. Okay. Well, I'm done.
Yeah.
All right. So, we will see you guys next week. We hope you enjoyed it. And let me give you some ending notes. Right now, you're listening to Bloom by Pogo. You can find his videos over on YouTube.com/Pogo. His music over on SoundCloud.com/Pogo Mix. You can find his home site over at pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast, on Facebook under the same name, and then specifically for the Disney show, just do a search for Disney Magic Hour and you'll find our little group. Please head on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and hit that subscribe button if you have not already. Also, if you're an Android listener, drop me a line as to how you listen to this show. Because I've had some requests for Stitcher, but Stitcher is a major pain, the way that they want you to do things. Basically, we'd have to set up like an entirely different feed and a different site almost to do it. So just give me an idea, because I've had one person who has trouble listening to the show, but no one else. So I'm curious as to how other people are doing it. So that would be crazy useful. Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.